This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 151, recorded on January 16th, 2014. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we host the show with world-class show notes each week out at TheAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show via email. Just send that to me, Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv. And actually, we've got a voicemail that was left this week from Kyle. He's going to talk a little bit about that email address. So, Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv. You can find me on Twitter at Jay Collison, or now call, and this is what Kyle did. You can call the show, leave a voicemail. Real convenient, especially if you're on the road and you're listening to the podcast and I say something and you want to, like, argue with me. Send me, pick up the phone, dial 402-478-8450. Leave me leave me a voicemail. Love, and we'll play that on the show if it's appropriate, right? You can crank call me if you want, but if it's appropriate, we'll call it on the show, or we'll play it on the show, and then we'll answer your question. I just figured I'd give you one more way to interact with us. So, Kyle, thanks for calling in and leaving a message. We will get to that a little bit later in the show. And we're now using Chatwing for chat. You can log in with Facebook, Twitter, Google, Chatwing, or just a guest. Actually, Yahoo as well, if you have any one of those accounts. And we also have a Live 2 option now that fits your screen better. Maybe if you're on an iPad or a Surface device that's kind of optimized for either one of those devices, and that new chat service is on both of those as well. Should be good for just about any device, although not all mobile devices we found out can handle both the chat and the live video at the same time. If you're trying that on your mobile device, I'd love some feedback. Jim at TheAverageGuy.tv. We continue to try and make ways to you to listen to this show no matter what. So I keep figuring out ways. We've gotten a lot better in the last couple months using Chatwing. YouTube continues to get better, but I'd like to know if you can't watch the show and do the chat at the same time. One of the cool things I recommend you actually do is to get two phones and put the live, you know, go YouTube on one phone, go chat on the other. That would be really cool, and then take a picture of it. I want to see you do that. It'd be fun to see, or maybe like the videos on the iPad and the chats on the phone or something like that, whatever works best for you. We'd love to have you do that. All the navigation for this, of course, is found in the upper right-hand corner over at TheAverageGuy.tv. I've been telling you guys for a while we are moving to a little bit of a different format. I've been trying to find different guys to interview on the show. In a couple weeks, we'll have LastPass. Amber will be back. Amber Gott from LastPass will be back. Last week, we had Michael Crump starts with a T. Sorry, Michael. You can smack me down later for that. It'll come back. It'll come to me here in a second. But today, a guy that I interviewed at the Heartland Developer Conference, another Heartland Developer Conference interviewee, and we just had such a good time, I asked him to come back onto the show. Drew Davies. Drew, thanks for coming on tonight. Appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, and I'm excited to interview you tonight. You know, some interesting things. We haven't chatted in a couple months, so I have to catch up with you a little bit. But before we do that, as soon as I thought of this, Christian, our regular host, couldn't make it tonight, and I said, oh, the best fill-in possible is Mike Howard. So, Mike, thanks for coming on, and thanks for co-hosting with me tonight.
No problem. I've been writing some notes ready to ask him some questions.
Oh, very good. Well, Drew, when last time we chatted, we talked a lot about design, and I actually went back and listened to that interview again, and I want to say thanks for going through that. Folks are interested in watching the interview after this one. If you just go to YouTube and search Heartland Developer Conference and then Drew, it actually just comes up. You're the first one.
Wow.
In that, yeah, that actually works. And we talked a little bit about design. Tell us a little bit. You're from Oxide Design Co., as we said in the pre-show. And tell me a little bit about your company. You're a local Omaha guy, which I really appreciate. But tell me a little bit about what you do and what your guys do there at Oxide.
Yeah. In short, Oxide is a communications and information design firm. So for us, that means about 50% of our work is that communications design side. That's typically branding, identity work, a little bit of print, and a lot of front-end website design and development. The information design side we do is an interesting spectrum from software UI, UX kind of work to infographics to actually a lot of civic design, election and ballot design work that we do as well. So it's a pretty interesting spectrum.
And I don't think a lot of people know this, but a lot of election stuff comes out of Omaha, doesn't it? I mean, I hear that all the time. Local, we build some ballot box, and you guys do some design work?
Yeah. There's a major election vendor based here in town. Election Systems and Software is based here in Omaha. They're probably one of the top three election vendors in the nation selling ballot counting devices, ballots, all sorts of tabulating machines and whatnot to counties and states across the country. So that helps. And then we've been, at Oxide, we've been working for about 8 years on designing federal ballot design standards and a variety of other kind of civic design related issues, trying to push all of those things forward.
For, you know, when the average tech guy, which, you know, we have a huge tech audience that listens to this show, a lot of tech guys, you know, if you look at me kind of middle-aged, that's kind of our, you know, middle-aged Midwestern guy who loves techs and, you know, and got 3.5 gadgets in his house, right? That's kind of our audience. When we think of design, oftentimes we kind of think of the logo, right? It boils down to the logo. How's design different than just the logo? I mean, you talk about communications and some of those things, but in that piece, how do you guys differentiate that from just being the logo?
Yeah, I think it's actually getting a little bit easier, Jim, from a, you know, standpoint like yours, this podcast. People are starting to recognize that design is involved in every piece of even the gadgets you have in your home. So certainly companies like Apple have allowed us to recognize that the design, the actual industrial design of a physical product is an important part of what it's doing, how it works with you, how you feel about it when you use it. So you've got the design of a product, then you've actually got the design of the interface, both in terms of its interaction with you, the user, how it behaves when you tell it to do things, when you command your gadgets around, and how it looks when it's doing that, the actual visual interface of that gadget. And then that other half of the design we do, that traditional communications design, of course, is the logo, the branding, the identity work that helps people start having a good feeling about the company that gave you that gadget in the first place.
When you let's get to know a little bit about you, and we talk about gadgets, and what are some of the gadgets you have? You know, we're a gadget show. We talk a lot about the everything from, you know, smartwatches all the way down to phones and stuff. What are your favorite gadgets right now? I mean, what can you not live without?
Oh, I am unabashedly an Apple guy, so I'll come in here and evangelize a bunch for Apple. Although we won't start getting, we'll save a different show for nitpicking a bunch of Apple interface details. The iPhone 5S is pretty hard for me to live without these days, and I'm constantly amazed at the amount of things that it does for me in my life that 5 years ago would have been unthinkable. Mm-hmm. Really, for me, the flip side of that is that the rest of the gadgets I tend to collect in my life are of the a painfully analog version. So I'm a strange, designy watch collector. So I have a set of watches that are all, some of them are certainly digital, but they're all sort of anti-intuitive, anti-usable watches that are way more interesting as aesthetic pieces than they are as utility pieces. I did sign up as one of the early adopters of the Pebble watch, only from sort of a crossover interest between digital gadgets and already being interested in watches. But the types of other gadgets I tend to collect seem to be more like odd sort of leftover relics versus brand new shiny gadgets showing up at CES.
And so you, you have obviously. I mean, as you think about it, when you talk about your watches, do you still appreciate old design? I mean, is there, if we look at an old watch and the way it was made, certainly there's an elegance to that. Do you pick apart some of that from a design concept and say, you know what? I mean, design's not new, right? I mean, engineering and design has been going on for a long time. Do you appreciate older design concepts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both from a graphic design standpoint and even that industrial design standpoint, you know, you mentioned the sort of picking apart, and that can be literal with watches, that sense.
Yeah.
There's a over on watchismo.com. Great site if you're going to buy watches.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
Watchismo. W-A-T-C-H-I-S-M-O. Okay. You'll see they have a they have this fantastic watch that sort of collects up everything you just said in one. It's actually a physical watch that you can look inside of it and you see all the gears, and it actually tells you the time by physically moving bands around in space that have numbers written on them, so that when they align correctly, you can read what the number is. It's the least efficient way to tell time in modern society. There it is. It's that one. It's that main one you see on the homepage there.
Right in the middle there.
Right, that Devon watch that's, it does all these beautiful things, and you can watch every gear and all these bands move around in it. Consequently, it has to be notably large to do all of those things, and it takes a lot of work to make them, so they're something like $17,000 a piece.
Wow.
Yowza.
So you'll know I'm nearing retirement and have done really well in my career when you see me on the street and I'm wearing one of those watches.
It's a good indication, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So we deal at Oxide, with graphic design in that same way, where we're always looking back to, in a lot of cases, wherever it's appropriate, to what's happened in design 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 150 years ago, and sort of gleaning pieces from that where it makes sense. And I think that watch does that same thing. Let's take some of these old school pieces and kind of put them together in a modern form.
Can you give me an example of that, maybe with a current customer, doing your best not to, I know there's, things you can't give away, but can you kind of give me an example of that, how you're reaching, current customer maybe reaching back and pulling something forward?
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of stories we have.
Totally unscripted questions here. I gave Drew no idea the questions I was going to ask him, so you can always say no.
There's a lot of stories that I have that I cannot tell you, as you alluded to.
Yeah.
I think the easiest one to mention now is we're starting work with a new restaurant and tequila bar here in town that we're just really at the early stages of, but even as you start looking into a place that's sort of Latin American themed and tequila based, and looking for a consumer brand for a restaurant, we're always looking at, okay, let's go back into history of tequila, back into the history of Mexico, back into the history of these things, and see what pieces are there that are worth sort of influencing our design as we move forward. So we're in the midst of finding old Mexican engravings from 150 years ago and what tequila bottle labels looked like back in the day and some things like that. It's been a fun research process.
Are you finding companies are reaching out to you more, or are you having to go out and get them?
Yeah, these days we're in the fortunate position that Oxide's over 12 years old now, so we've established a pretty good reputation, and fortunately our clients like working with us as much as we like working with them, so we're getting almost all of our work via referral and networking now, instead of having to go out and gather that, and that works out really well, because design is a lot about how good your designer is, and quite a bit about what your relationship is like with that designer. For us, it has to be a collaborative process, so we need that to be a good, open, communicative relationship. So works better if they came from people we already know.
Yeah, yeah.
Those relationships help, right? Because everybody understands everybody, where you're coming from and such. Drew, because we're kind of, we're the Average Guy Network, and I try to reach out to the average guy, so to speak. In this show, we talk about the average tech guy, although I've drawn a lot of really above average tech guys in on this. But when we think about design, if you were to give maybe three mistakes that when, we got a lot of guys doing a lot of different stuff. We all have our own websites. We create, we create in WordPress, and we do all our own kind of simple tech work, or even not so simple tech work. But when you think about design and things that people do in the name of design, who aren't schooled in it or don't understand or doing stuff, what are maybe the two or three most common mistakes that the average guy makes when they go to design?
Or not even the average guy, even a company who decided to try and do it internal.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Right. Right. Oh, man, you mean design across the board. That's a tricky... Well, tricky quagmire, Jim.
Yeah, well, let's so narrow it down. You can narrow it down however you want on that. But so yeah, what are the common mistakes you see? Well, and let me narrow it because so many of us are so familiar with web design, and so maybe mm-hmm. that's if that helps narrow it down a little bit. And I, you know, I'm thinking about I've got theaverageguy.tv, and I'm sure there's some flaws in there, and you know, kind of beauties in the eye of the beholder too, right? I mean, two designers act the same, but maybe some broad concepts that...
Yeah,
that,
you know, I think, and this is pretty universal, you know, what we see becoming a problem more often than not is that issue where people are trying to, let's say, solve too many problems at once. The idea where you, instead of taking a small problem and solving it really well through an elegant solution, you instead try to build something that addresses a larger problem or solves 20 problems at once. So the easiest world to explain that in is even in, say, mobile apps these days. The ones that you find that people are really celebrating and drawn to and doing well end up doing one task elegantly well, and then they stay away from trying to move beyond that. So you'll see a Clear app or an Evernote that do those single things really well, and people are drawn to them for that. And sometimes you'll see them actually go off the rails as they become successful because of that one, mm-hmm. and they'll start adding 7 more feature sets and a few other things, and people start to sort of navigate away from them because they become more complex and sort of overly burdensome. And
kind of a victim actually, of their own success in some
right,
ways. I mean,
in some ways, it's hard to maintain that focus. You know, when you've solved a problem really well already, and you've moved into a stage where you're really refining that problem based on feedback, rather than, you know, I think people that have solved that problem really well the first time are, they just want to keep moving forward about solving problems. And so typically they've got this platform that's well recognized already or the like. And so instead of moving on to the next distinct kind of project, they just keep lumping new things into the one they've already built that's successful. Oftentimes to the detriment of what it did really well the first time.
Yeah,
and websites can be the same way, too.
That's great advice.
The more websites try and do, try and address every problem for every visitor, as opposed to think about who their audience is and really speak to the goals of what they're trying to get that audience to be able to do, is when they lose track and all of a sudden you've got a website with a million links and a zillion buttons and no... It's nothing to anyone instead of everything to everyone.
You know, that's, overload, and for us podcasters, that's actually real common, that's a real common thing. So you start with one podcast and one site, and then you start adding things. You add advertisement, you add links, you add RSS feeds, you start adding a chat window, you add your Twitter feed, you add your, right? We are probably the worst at that kind of thing of kind of keeping it, I mean, so in your mind, a lot of times good design concepts are just keeping it single on what it's best at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And I think especially as we get overwhelmed with, you know, whatever the gazillion number of apps available on the Google Play Store now and whatnot, the reason you're seeing some of those apps become celebrated is because they rise above the fray by being so clear and so simple at the one task they are getting done. I don't think people mind having 20 apps on their phone that they use all the time if each one of those apps does what it's supposed to do perfectly.
Right. I agree.
So what else? What other besides going off the rails, maybe when we think about visual concepts or let's talk about usability. When I ask you that question on the show, you're like, oh, we could do a whole show just on that idea. But when we talk about usability, is that any different? Any advice along those lines as using things?
Yeah, you know, it probably boils down to the same basic concept. And, you know, another way of looking at it and the way we look at it at Oxide as it relates to usability is approaching it from the other end, which is to say, is this thing I'm putting here, even visually, is this collection of pixels I'm putting on this web page, what is it gaining us, and is it necessary to be here? If not, let's take it back out. Mm. So we approach usability with that very, is it essential to what's going on? No, then it's gone. How many of these things can we remove because they're not really essential to our to our end goal, and then what are we left with at the end of the day after we've sort of gleaned all of those out and thrown them in the garbage? And typically that's where our final design ends up, is way closer to that after it's all been, all the leftovers have been swept away.
Do you find that customers resist you on that? They want everything in there, and you've got to really fight them to kind of keep that stuff out?
Yeah, certainly some of the time that's true. You know, there is a, it's always a scary step to walk away from the we are everyone, everything to everyone mentality. And I think most companies want to be able to feel that they are, no matter what they do, their sense is we'll be more successful if we can solve more problems for more people, no matter what. And so no matter what kinds of industries our clients are in or the types of clients they work with, more often than not, they want to try and be more things to more people. And we do, you know, a lot of our consultation has to do with trying to encourage them to really find who they are, what they're really good at, and then doing that for their customers and gaining more of those kinds of customers rather than spreading themselves too thin trying to do a collection of other things.
I imagine they often are, like y'all were just saying, thinking about all the stuff they want to put in there, not thinking from the other angle of, is the end user going to have a good experience with that?
Right.
You know, you get them overload. Somebody was talking about a website out there that, you know, websites often grow and grow and grow and get more and more complex. And other, not just websites, but other things too. They want to overload the end user, and the end user then ends up with a bad experience.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not necessarily the Apple fan that you are, but one of the things they did is they thought about the end user and designed it for the end user and set a new standard that, that we're all now, you know, going after.
Right, right.
And it makes me think back years ago when we were searching for our new home, and we walked through home after home after home, and my mom said, you can tell that men build all these houses and they've never talked to a woman.
Yep.
Yep. That's smart. That is smart. I need to. I think the next house I buy, Sarah just goes picks it. Right. I'm not gonna have anything to do with it. She's just gonna pick it.
The problem is a bunch of men built the house without thinking about the end user, who in a lot of cases is the woman, because the man just wants a place to watch TV and go to bed.
And or have a man cave, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but what I'm talking about is thinking of the end user and what the end user experience is going to be about.
Yeah. Drew, along those lines, let me ask you, guys versus gals, generation versus generation, do they see a difference? I mean, is there a big difference? Are design concepts universal, or is it still really opinionated across these various demographics, so to speak?
Both. I think core design concepts are universal. And I think the people we see, no matter generation or gender or those sorts of things, we do see great designers all sort of gravitating towards those core universal truths about overarching things that make design good or make design usable or make it effective. Beyond that, certainly, of course, the second half of design, especially graphic design, is very aesthetic, which makes it extremely subjective, in which case, you know, everyone's got a different opinion on the matter. So I wouldn't say it's actually specific to gender or specific to generation, but of course, ask 1,000 designers the best way to design it, and you'll get 1,000 different answers.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's interesting because as I work with designers all the time, yeah, sometimes I get that feel. It's like everybody's super opinionated that they've got the corner of the market on design, and even if you have two really good designers, they may totally disagree on a design concept or on the way something should be done, and they'll have very good reasons for it. I am.
There's not one right answer.
Yeah. It's
that's
art.
What you have to recognize.
Yeah, it's a lot of art and to it, and it even changes over time. I mean, I've always wondered why clothes change over time. Why is what we're wearing today look good? And let me ask you this question: you've been doing this a long time. Why do things get dated? Is there a philosophy? Why is the clothes I wear today look great on me today? And I look back. We've been doing a lot of this. We're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, my wife and I, here next month. and we are going back and pulling out pictures. You know, the kids are throwing this big party for us, and we're going back and pulling pictures and looking over the last 25 years. Why do those glasses that I wore in 1992 look so dated? Do you know why? Why is that? Why do things go out of fashion, so to speak, or out of
right.
favor?
Human nature. It's been interesting listening to our clients along the way and sort of evaluating what we do as opposed to what they're looking for. And humans across the board have this interesting relationship with change. No humans like change because it feels dangerous and scary, and all humans just want things to be different. So I think, you know, that trends and graphic design, great graphic design, can be on the forefront of shifting trends. A lot of graphic design is really sort of bolstering existing trends, I think, already. But something about human nature causes us to want things to be different and new and fresh. And so we get people, you know, for our part, we get clients that show up at the door, sometimes claiming they want things to be different and new and fresh. But then, of course, the other half of them showing up at the door wanting to make sure that we're building something for them that looks exactly like everyone else, so they're not out there in the world doing anything scary or different or, you know, that would put people off or whatnot. So I suppose different kinds of people are looking to be trendsetters versus following what's already happening. But I think it's human nature that skews across all parts of design and, you know, across fashion and art
and food.
Architecture and food, exactly. Yeah.
You think about, Jim, if you eat something over and over again, some things you may like for a long time, but some things, you know, get old and you don't want to eat it anymore.
It's crazy. I just don't understand it sometimes. It's just been painful to go back and look at some of these pictures, and I'm like, how did I ever think that was okay? You know?
But you know what's I've seen, and I'm sure we've all seen this, is some of those things that you look back and go, I can't believe I wore those plaid pants back then. Some of those things, maybe not plaid pants, but some of those things, as generations come up, they're not old to those people. They're maybe new to those people, and they come back around.
Right. Yeah. It certainly, but comes around, goes around. Let me in the chat, they asked this question. I think this is a good one. So they're looking for an example, in your opinion, of good and bad when we talk about maybe, and we're doing this in the context of a kind of website design, because that's where we're all probably most familiar with that. And let me have you critique, since I brought that up, let me have you critique the site we were just looking at, because...
Don't bring up my site.
No. Yeah. No, I was thinking about bringing up my own site, and I thought, no, I'm not looking any for any free consulting there, Drew. But so I've pulled up this the site we were just with the watches that we were just looking at. And to me, as I look at the sites, let me critique it just as the average guy, right? There's a lot of stuff on this page, right? They've got 75% off. There's another 60% on the other side. Oh, I can get another 60%. It's going down. You know, they've got different ways of displaying that with the red in the corner and, you know, a whole list of stuff down the side. In your opinion, if you consult to these guys, do you say, or are they geniuses? Maybe somewhere in between.
I'm sure they're somewhere in between. They seem to have cornered the market on a lot of interesting online watch sales. So they're doing something right, that's for sure. We actually, I put these guys, full disclosure, I put these guys on my top five clients we'd like to work with list for 2013.
Oh, okay, so be nice.
They've been really generous at responding to my emails, asking them to let us discuss the site with them. So far, we have not discussed the site. Here's the free advice I'd give them if they
are you, got are you me comfortable? On the phone. Are we okay? Dude?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're exactly right. You know, the blessing and the curse that a company like this has is they their selection of merchandise is vast. A zillion brands, 4 bagillion watches. They have a lot of things to sell, and all of them are wildly interesting. These guys don't sell boring watches. The sort of burden part of that that's overcome them, and you can see it in this website, is there's a real lack of focus about quite what it is they're up to, and that comes across tangibly in you, the user's lack of ability to focus on any one thing that's going on this website. So there's lots of little boxes with lots of pretty pictures of very intricate watches all piled on top of one another. They're from a purely design, graphic design standpoint, it lacks some visual hierarchy, which would help you, the user, know, okay, read this first, start here, then move on down through the chain in this order. This is how they want me to go. Instead, everything's given the same level of importance, which doesn't allow any of us to know quite where we're supposed to be starting, which makes us unsettled to begin with. And then I think there's some different ways they could go about allowing you, the user, to kind of sort and search all of the watches that they have available. So on that home page, what happens is once you've fought your way through what feels to the user like 72 banner ads, then you hit the list that is literally hundreds of entries long in the left-hand column, showing you every brand and style of watch available there. There isn't a simple answer to that, but it is the kind of scenario that at Oxide we love to get our sink our teeth into, because it's a kind of wicked problem having this many very distinct and unique things to sell all at once, and helping users find exactly what they want when they get there. Or, of course, the ones that don't know what they want, showing them some of the great options that they have, so that they can just kind of come and window shop. And you'll see what they're trying to do on that homepage, I think, is really skewed towards that sense of, What if I want to show up? I don't know what I want, but I came here because I know they have cool watches, and I'm going to buy something today. I just don't know what it is. So they are giving you that ability to window shop. I think it could probably be put together in a way that helps it feel less chaotic and daunting and a little more like an enjoyable shopping experience.
Now, they have opted to go with more of a square layout. You know, we look at kind of the Windows motif has moved that direction with big, boxy, very flat, flat kind of ideas. And so they seem to be kind of piggybacking on that. Can you give me an example of one that you really like that kind of walks you through that, you know, what you just said? How about if we go out to your site?
Man, yeah. Go out to our site.
OXI. Is it OX Oxide?
OXIDE.
Design?
Design.com.
There it is. I found it. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more.
Let me watch me explain to you how this layout, which to the casual observer might seem very similar to the one you just saw, is a little bit different. what we've done here is... it really centers around that same concept that I just told you about, that window shopping idea that's going on over at Watchismo. When you have a lot of varied things to sell, then you certainly want people to not have to know in their minds what they want when they show up, but instead find it. In our case, we're not selling any of these things specifically. This is client work we've done for other clients, so of course you can't just buy the thing that you see here. What we did in our case, in terms of that focus, as opposed to a little distinction from what's going on at Watchismo, under normal circumstances, design firm or ad agency's website, you show up there, and typically on the homepage, you get this pile of sort of brand speak, a lot of words trying to describe the essence of the creativity that's going on there, the branding, whatnot, that they bring to the table, et cetera, et cetera. When we built this site, we looked around at a zillion different sites and saw just a lot of people saying the same thing, but usually in three paragraphs of type. And then you had to dig around to start finding the portfolio work and whatnot. And so the streamlining that we did to this site when we built it was actually to say, you know what, do we believe our work speaks for itself? Yes, we do. Do we believe that it shows the breadth of what we do as a firm? Yes, we do. Well, let's skip all the marketing speak and just move on to a layout that just random loads items out of our portfolio each time you get here, and takes people right into the portfolio of work, as opposed to inundating them with a bunch of extra text and writing and making them hunt around for what it is we do.
Yeah, very nice. And then, Jim, if you click under the portfolio link on some of the things there, then you fine-tune some of the items it shows you.
Right. So once you're there, the UI allows you to sort that portfolio by specific items, so all of a sudden you can kick into there and start seeing those pieces. So we also did build that system up above where we got the links down to the minimum number mm-hmm. that we could and started allowing people to just do a sort of those items. So essentially the homepage actually shows you, if you keep scrolling, it'll show you every piece that's in the portfolio in its entirety. It'll go forever. But then you use those links up above to say, okay, you know what? That's great that the whole book's there, but I came here for a logo, so show me the kind of logo work you've done.
Drew, how do you shoot these? I assume these are pictures of these.
Yeah, they're all photographed in-house. We have a studio, photography studio inside of the...
Great job.
...inside of our studio. So, yeah, we've... and the idea is really to let that work speak for itself and step out of the way. So the homepage always... in the first view on the homepage, there's always the line that explains Oxide as a communications and information design firm. We figured out that's all we really need to explain at that point. And if you want to start hearing some more of the marketing speak, then you can find your way over to the About button rather than the other way around.
So this would typically... Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, I like that the menu is minimal. It gives you, you got good information where you can sort it. You got the standard stuff, the About and all that kind of stuff, but it's not overwhelming. Sometimes menus, and then you get into footers, and there's a whole bunch of other menus and everything there. It's just information overload. And I like the fact that you got the work speaking for itself. It's very user-friendly.
Thanks. We've had a fun time building that site.
So this is a typical, that's the great thing about, working or owning a design company. You can build the coolest stuff for yourself, right?
Yeah. So hard for people like me is you look at this and you go, well, yeah, this is, look how simple this is. This was easy. But right. I think sometimes, and maybe you can answer this, the easy is hard because you so want to do something else.
Right. For both us, a little as designers, and definitely for our clients, the most difficult discussions we actually have are about simplifying some things. Yeah. There's a sense like, I think even from companies that purchase design, there's a sense that if it looks simple when it's done, you might not have gotten what you paid for. There's literally not enough decoration going on. And, in certain consumer brands or places like that, high levels of decoration and all kinds of fancy design and whatnot are appropriate for selling that product to the audience. But in a lot of cases, they most certainly are not. So we have more sort of tricky discussions with our clients about, I know this looks simple, but here's the reasons why it's going to be more effective at achieving your goals than if we put 20 more things into it. And that is some of the tricky sales job we do, is explaining the thinking behind that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about logos, and some of the logos that stick out in my mind, at least, and maybe the general public the most, are some of the very simplest of logos.
Yeah.
Like the Nike swish or whatever it is.
Right.
One that almost everybody would recognize. And how simple is that?
Right.
Drew, we've talked a lot about the visualization aspects of it, whether it be web or print or logo work here. Can you give us one bit? Right, we've kept you over time, and I apologize for that, but thanks for hanging with us a little bit.
Happy to be here.
When we talk about communication design, you mentioned that in your, in what you do. Where do people make mistakes with the communication piece? I mean, how does that fit in, and what kind of areas do you see you can kind of give a lift to?
Jim, you'll forgive me for saying the same thing over and over again after you've been kind enough to invite me on your podcast.
No, that's the truth. It's simple, right? So you just keep coming up with the simple answers.
Yes. So, and it is deceptively simple. When we talk about communications design, that's a kind of industry standard term to encompass a lot of things, from logo and identity work to print pieces to website design and the like. And the thing we're always counseling clients on is about clarity and about consistency. So a lot like the discussions we've just been having, when we do branding work for clients, the toughest part, once you're you know, let's say you're a small company that's been rebranded by Oxide, the most value you can get out of that brand is through rigidly consistent use and application of all the elements of it. Using the logo the same time every time you use it, using the corporate colors religiously, always using the corporate typeface, following all of the brand standards, all those pieces, which sounds really simple to do, and in reality takes not only a little bit of nuanced design thinking, but also the wherewithal to not get dragged into that human nature sense about, oh, I'm kind of tired of seeing these two colors and that logo in the same place all the time. So internally, if a year goes by after a rebranding, everyone inside a company is sick and tired of seeing everything that way, whereas your customers might have only seen it half a dozen times that way, and it's going to take another two dozen before they start to really cement some sense about who you are as a company in their mind. So the value, of course, comes from the consistent implementation and the recognition that, potential clients start to have out in the marketplace. But it can be really easy to get so tired of that inside your house. So you, it's easy to step away and have your messaging start sort of wandering off track, or have your visuals start doing some new and different things, because there's it's so much more fun to do it that way than to have to just keep following the rules.
Yeah, can we do something different? You know, not very similar to what bands struggle with. You know, when they come up with a song and they sit, you know, they record it and they it's a big hit, and then they got to do it a million times, right? And for everyone listening to it for that first, it's the first time, you know, for them listening to it. We went and saw a Brad Paisley the other night, and he was doing some songs from, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And I turned to my wife. I'm like, I wonder how many times he's sung that song. And yet, crowd goes wild. Everybody loves it. He's, you know, he's playing to the crowd. But he's probably sung that thing a million. You know, he's like, oh, my God. I would imagine that's the same. You have to preach kind of the same things, right? You've come up with design. You've come up with branding. Use it. I know you're sick of it because you see it every day. But your customers haven't, right? That's one of those. That's one of those lessons learned. Yeah. One more question. I'm going to let you go, and I do appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us tonight. It's always good to spend time with local guys. And Drew, you're one of my favorite design guys ever on that. But tell me a little bit about your collaboration process that you guys do in house. You're a smaller shop, and I'm sure you guys sit around and collaborate. What are some effective, or what have you guys learned in collaboration that makes you the most effective team when you're doing that kind of stuff? Any principles that you've learned that works for your team?
Part of it's my hiring strategy at Oxide, which is, of course, go out and find the best designers you can get your hands on, right? Partly that's about design, and partly that's about personalities and making sure you're hiring people that are going to fit in on the team, rather than just be a great designer. You know, if you have to be locked in a dungeon on your own and not talk to anybody to do great design, that's not the kind of great designer that can fit in on our team. So our process, almost every project that comes in, there's five of us on the team. Almost every project that comes in, everyone's involved in it, so that we can get all those different opinions, we can get all those different viewpoints coming in. So whether it's a logo or a software UI piece or whatnot, we typically start those projects by sitting down as the full group around a table, usually big sheets of sketch pad paper, and talking through the project, figuring out what the, you know, distilling down what the goals are, who the audience might be, and scribbling a bunch of things on the sheet of paper. And then we take that process, that collaborative process, and we extend it as long as we can. So typically, that scribble on paper stays in that spot for a couple of weeks while two or three or even one of us at a time goes back to that space and keeps working through that problem, and then comes up with an idea and is able to either write it down on the sheet or just sort of yell it out in the space. Our office is built around this kind of process. It's one giant room, five desks in a row, so you always know when somebody's come up with a great idea, or you can yell something out to somebody that's three desks down because they're really only about 20 feet away anyway. So it's definitely collaborative, but it's also meant to be essentially continuous as it goes, and then letting letting things percolate as they go and continuing to seek feedback from the other members of the team.
How long does it take you to get in a typical, you know, and I know every job is different, but is there kind of, do you see kind of patterns that, that emerge in that collaboration process? Can you kind of predict how long some of those things take?
I suppose. We predict them because typically clients want to know when they start the process.
When am I going to have it, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, we do, fortunately, we're in a spot now where we can do projects that are not just a logo for someone, but they start with a logo and they build into broader branding and then turn into what does that website do and look like and what other communications are they sending out. But at the start of a process like that, when we do logo projects, those are, you know, a couple of months at a time we're doing that, and a good solid 4 weeks out of the middle of that is that internal collaborative process where we'll get a huge amount of research and data and feedback from client to start, and then spend that next 3-4 weeks internally going through that ongoing collaborative process before we're really getting back in touch with client with some of those ideas that have come out of that process.
That's fantastic. It's an amazing, I don't get it. I'm not wired that way. I, you know, if I was doing something like that, I'd do it in 3 hours. It would be the first thing that came to mind, and I just push it out, right? I'm an activator, so I'm constantly wanting to push stuff forward. I do have a son. In fact, all my kids are very artsy in all the things they do, and he's kind of got that going in him, and I'm always amazed. In fact, there's a picture behind me, let me see if I can get out of the way, that he did in watercolor that is a kind of a representation of a picture of our cat. Mm-hmm. And he just sat down one day and did some watercolor, and if you look at it, you're like, wow, that's really good. Yeah. You know, it looks, I mean, if I did it, it would look like crap, right? And he did it. Yeah, it would be awful. And yet, somehow, you know, there's a representation and the misrepresentation, right? The watercolors, the colors bleed over. There's some other things that happen, and that's all done in a way kind of by on purpose in what he did with the art there. And I'm always impressed by that. So I've always secretly, deep down inside, wanted to be a designer. I don't have any of the skill to do that. I'm more of a blunt force object than I am a finely tuned machine. But Drew, I want to say thanks for coming on tonight. It's always good to talk to you. We'll try and keep you in the loop. If folks want to find you, where are the best places? Pimp your stuff out here real quick so folks
know. Let's see. You already showed them the website. Best place to find Oxide is online, oxidedesign.com. Oxide's on Twitter at @oxidedesign. We have a fantastic Facebook page in case you want to keep up on all the nitty-gritty details going. I am at Drew Oxide on Twitter. And I'm always happy to get emails. Just Drew, Drew, at oxidedesign.com. Send some spam on over, you know.
No, good stuff. I appreciate you coming out. I won't hold you any longer. I told you 30, 45 minutes we're over that mark. But I do appreciate you coming on and appreciate you sharing that stuff with us. I want to do more of these kinds of interviews from time to time and get some industry experts on. To talk about. It's not just always about the most recent gadget or the iPhone, but I do appreciate you walking us through these things, and appreciate you spending a little time tonight, Drew. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.
You bet.
Drew, it's nice to meet you, and looking at all your logos now, I got to rethink my own.
Call over anytime, Mike.
Jim talking about taking 3 hours to do it. Like, wow, why did it take me 2 extra hours?
Right.
Drew, thanks for coming in. Yeah. Mike and I are going to hang out for a few more minutes. If you're watching live, stay around, but you can drop at this point if you'd like to. Thanks for
so
coming
much,
out. Great having you. Yeah, we'll see you. Thanks.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Drew.
You too. Thank you. Let's see. And Drew, I think you'll want to drop yourself there. Just hit the red hang-up button right above. There
you go.
Awesome. Yeah. There he's gone.
Yeah, it really, you know, looking at his logos and stuff, it makes me, they're great quality. I mean, my quality was designed by me, so it stinks. they're great quality. The other, you know, I hope it came across what I'm saying. Simple. I don't mean that it's a five-minute job. I mean, the simple thing often is the harder thing to do. And when you get to the end, you go, it's a lot of things in life. When you get to the end, you go, if I would have just known this is where I was going to go and when I started, I could have got here in 10 minutes. But that the journey is what's the difficult part. And it really, looking at his designs here, makes me want to just start totally start over again.
I know. Isn't that, that's the part that just drives me nuts about design, yeah. You know, because you look at it and you're like, oh, and you, when you create it and you're like, okay, that's good enough. And then you see something else and you're like, oh God, my design's terrible. You know, and I'm not, if you, if you're a home tech listener and you've been hanging around with us for the last 3 years, you know, I came up that, you know, I've got that brown, it's got coffee, and then there's a microphone that sits on it. And I thought I was being terribly creative. You know, really, it's just a picture. And then, I mean, how much can you screw that up? It's just a picture. And then I superimposed, you know, I put the home tech on it. It's not that hard. But there's, if you think about it, there's probably a million things I could have done differently with that, that could make that better. I do have, and I was trying to look for his work. I have engaged, so I've got a Sarah's watching. Can you hear Sarah behind me?
I heard. Is she watching Big Bang? Thursday night's Big Bang.
She is watching something. And well, she, you
know,
she's and back.
Kyle, I don't know if he's still out there. You know, his wife does fantastic work, and it's one of those things that you know when you're doing a logo, the reason a logo is so important and why people spend so much money on it is not something you want to change very often. I mean, you want to you want to spend some money, get what you want, and then you're going to stick with it for a long time. I mean, you think Nike, can you, in our lifetime, you probably will not see them change their logo.
Yeah. No, not Nike.
I'm picking on Nike. And I mean, there's tons of other companies that, I mean, their logo was there before we were born, and it will be there when we're gone.
Yeah. No, it's, well, that's the art of good design. I want to show you, so at our church, we just went through a redesigning effort, and the kid that did it, Jace Heiser is his name, and he's actually going to do the new design for theaverageguy.tv. So I'm pretty excited about it. I've brokered a deal with him. He's just 16, okay, but I want to show you this. He did this. This is our church site that he did, and so he has taken on this, you know, so he designed all this, including the church logo. It's called, they renamed it. You know, we were a community church like all these other ones, and we changed our name to Reality Church, which at first I was really resistant to. Everything you're seeing here, if you're watching the video, is his work.
I look at that. John, the numbers on the...
Yeah, it's a Scrabble thing. And actually, so when you... so we started that series on John this last Sunday. And when you get to church, the bulletin, which isn't a conventional bulletin anymore like you get in most churches, but on the front of it was a full-size Scrabble board. And he had some things, you know, using these themes, he had, you know, it said Reality Church on it and then John down the side. And it was really, really cool. Some of the things, again, this is a 16-year-old working on this. And he reminds me of like a young Christian, you know, when it comes to design kind of thing. And so he is right now working on theaverageguy.tv, and I'm going to teach him some WordPress and we're going to give him a site to mess around with, and I'm going to kind of introduce him to some people, you know, to kind of help him along the way. So pretty excited about what's coming out at theaverageguy.tv. In fact, if you go right now, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. If you go out, and I'll put this in the show notes as well, just go to the show notes and get it. But give you a sneak peek of where we're leaning for theaverageguy.tv without any design in it. So it's just the wireframe concept of how we're going to lay things out going, I think. Jace still hasn't given me. Hold on.
Is it somewhere you want us to go?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, hold on. I wasn't really prepared. The average guy...
I wasn't prepared when you first said it.
Well, that's good.
We can blame that on me.
So it's actually theaverageguy.azurewebsites.net. I'll drop that in chat as well. That will be available in the show notes. If you're listening to the audio or video version of this, you can head over to the show notes and do that.
Theaverageguy.azure...
Azure Websites, all one word, theaverageguy.azurewebsites.net. And that's actually an Azure site that I'm using. It's one of the free, you know, you get 10 free sites with Azure. And this is one of those. It's just a test site. And again, we haven't color coordinated. We haven't done anything palette-wise or even design-wise. But just an idea of how if you head out there, you know, breaking the various podcasts into sections. Yeah.
I like that. I like the top where you have the names of the shows right there.
Yeah, Yeah, and they're color-coded, and the goal would be to even color-code them by the show's logo, because I don't always have, like with Home Server Show, I don't have control over Dave's logo, so we'll just find a color that matches it close, and then yeah. You get some design across the top with it. And it seems like Loft is having all kinds of video problems tonight.
Great job.
He just lost his
phone. He must be coming from a Mac.
Yeah, he must be. I thought you were going to flip out when Drew said his Apple fanboyness, and so
I give them credit for what they did. I'm definitely not an Apple fanboy, but
yeah.
they did something. The competition is good, and they did something where they made people aware of design. You know, they came out with a great design that really kicked everybody else's butt, and it started a whole new trend of people having to think about design, think about the end user and that kind of stuff. So I give them credit for that.
Yeah, for sure. I just threw up the video in the site in the video now, too. So in case you can't get to it or whatever and you're watching the video of this, this is actually a rundown of what we're talking about. So we are renaming the show to Home Gadget Geeks. I think at some point here I'll get that done. Rich's show is still going. In fact, we're going to do a random podcast this weekend, Rich and I. Going to put that together on Sunday, so watch Twitter for that. The new Christian's Corner, or whatever we decide to brand that, we're breaking that out, and I think I may actually record another one of those tomorrow night. This could be a record week for me, Mike. I could do 7 podcasts in 8 days.
Jeez.
Yeah, this week with work and all that other stuff that's going on.
Burn yourself out, did you?
I have to be careful. I do have to be careful. The good news is I really like doing it, so it's not bad, and the good mission and purpose behind it. So that's coming with the site redesign. Jace is kind of working on that. I figured that would be good to bring that up on an evening like this, since we were just talking about design and how all that comes together. I want to take a second. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, depending on. I'll sit back and wait for him to do yours, and then I wouldn't mind talking to him and seeing. Obviously, for me, it'd be a cost. I wouldn't mind talking to him because I am never going to get to a logo that I do that I like. I can tell you what I like after I see it. telling you what I like, I can give you a general idea on the front end.
Yeah.
What I can't do is design it myself. You know, I've got Adobe Illustrator, and I've tried and tried and tried, and it goes from looking like one piece of crap. To another piece of crap. I mean, it never gets out of the crap stage.
That's funny. It never gets out of the crap stage.
No.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because as we think about the listeners, right, you the listener out there. Sorry, some residue left from last week.
Yeah.
As we think about the listener out there, demographically, you know, you've again, I mentioned this earlier, but you look a lot like me probably, and you're doing some of your own web stuff on your own, and I think about the different podcasters that we have in our community and such, and it's tough because you're trying to do it on a shoestring and you don't want to spend a lot of money, and many of us are creative and either writing or speaking or some of those kinds of things, and the visual arts are a little bit different. It takes a little bit of patience. I think, Mike, we touched on a little bit. I think you need the key is what he said is they take 4 weeks to go through a design. So they write it down, they walk away. I mean, think about how good a paper would be, a blog post would be, if you took 4 weeks to write it, right? And
true.
You wrote it and you walked away and you did something different, you come back. Because, you know, the art of revision is always coming back after you've walked away from it. We try and we get in a hurry to do things and we just crank stuff out and then just push it out, right? Like you said, it would be 2 hours, I would have given it 2 more hours than you would have. For that, it's just we try to do it fast.
You know, hiring a company like him to design your website's logo for a podcast is probably going to be outside of your budget for what you want to do. But there is another site I've been looking at called 99designs.com that is more for the you know, somebody like me. It's still not going to be cheap. It's still going to be somewhere for between $200 and $500 to design a logo.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking you're going to get a great design logo for $25. That's probably not going to happen. But, you know, I'd imagine that Drew is not charging $500 for a several-month project. I mean, he's looking at the corporate side where, there's a lot more work going into it. So if you're looking for something personal like that, maybe 99 Designs is something to look at.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the other thing is look around in your community, right? I mean, that's kind of what I do when I need something. I say... Yeah. I look around and I say, hey, maybe I can barter with somebody. And especially, you know, I'm all about training and I'm all about educating, especially young, you know, the young kids. And so in this situation, you know, much like we did with Christian, you know, he was 15 when we took him on. And you never know, right? You never know how this is going to turn out. We got super lucky with Christian. That could have gone the other way, you know, in a lot of ways. And so I'm willing to take a risk. I love to see young kids come up through the system and give them an opportunity to try something that maybe in other situations they wouldn't get the opportunity to. Yeah. When I sat down with Jace, you know, I said, hey, you know, I've got about 1,000 listeners or so that I get 10,000 page views a month now, thanks to Christian. And so you're going to get some opportunity to do your design and have some, this, you know, we're going to kind of turn it into a portfolio for him. The thing is, I have to give him control.
You know?
I have to say, all right, I'm going to go with what he says. So that's the trade-off. So if you're starting these kinds of things, I think like Keith Lunsford, he's trying to get a podcast off the ground right now.
Is Keith out there?
Keith is not out there, I don't think, right now. But
Keith is a guy I met at the Home Server Show meetup, right?
Yeah. Yep. Colorado guy.
Great guy.
Super good guy. Super good guy. Lopt asks, how much does an entry level company logo cost? Well, this is the first question I asked him. When you go into the enterprise on this stuff, this is beyond the logo. The logo is just one small piece of the communications plan that comes up to putting a whole brand initiative together, and I have no idea. I'm not even gonna guess on what.
Well, you know, so look at it this way: 99 Designs, the site I mentioned before, which is 99designs.com. I think on the low end, let me go there, and I will speak with, you know, more knowledge,
some authority.
Yeah. So the lowest thing you can do, the bronze level, is $299.
Yeah.
And you'll get 30 designs back. You know, there'll be 30 different designers who will bring you something, and you get to pick from that 30 what you want. And it goes up from there. So that is on this type of thing. You know, when you're looking at a corporate, on the corporate size, you're talking quite a bit more money than
that. Yeah, it's got to be. But that's a whole different ballgame.
I think I read somewhere that was a Burger King or one of those. We're looking at redoing our website. And I can't remember if it's Burger King or one of the other restaurant chains. If you go to their website, that they spent over $1 million on the design part of the website.
Mm, yeah.
The programming, actually, once the designers say what, you know, once you decide on the design, the programming of the website is actually the easier part and the cheaper part.
Yeah.
If that design is so expensive.
Yeah, no, right on. And even at Gallup, you know, we have a whole different team that are just designers that do the wireframes and the mock-ups and the graphics and those kinds of pieces. Then they pass those requirements over to our developers, and they actually implement that. So it's a totally different skill set.
Now, when I was in business school, you know, studying to be an accountant, I still made fun of those art majors.
You shouldn't. My children are art majors. So
also made fun of the marketing majors and the other.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Non-accounting majors.
You know, it's funny, Mike, you mentioned that. I didn't really understand art until my kids became artists. And then they've taught me to appreciate really the value of art, because it does make a difference. I mean, what you see changes your mind, you know.
It does.
And so it's just amazing to me that the things they can do with, you know, being creative. I love their art. I hang it up all over the house. I showed you, you know, behind me is that picture. It's in the, my camera's probably not giving it much justice, but he'd scanned it in the other day. Wanted to show some folks it.
Yeah.
So I pulled it off the scanner. I just threw it up there. I didn't intend for it to stay, but I thought, well, this is really cool.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, design and art affect us everywhere in our daily life, and things that we don't even think about. You know, I think the heck I'm looking at here, just the case or whatever you call this thing that I have the tablet in. I love this thing. I love this thing. And I'm sure that it's one of those things that somebody spent, you know, a while on the design of this thing, and maybe even a team of people doing some kind of thought on how it's going to look. So, you know, things you don't even think about that somebody had to put some design in.
And how you feel about it, right? And we think about our automobiles, and those are just packed full of design. So, well,
absolutely.
I appreciate you guys. If you've made it all the way through this hour, thanks for getting here. We got some cleanup to do, just some miscellaneous stuff. I told you that our voicemail is working. Again, that voicemail number, if you want to send in a question to us. And all Kyle did was call me from his car. He says sometimes he's listening to the podcast and he thinks of these things as he's driving, so he just dials and leaves his voicemail. Let me play that for you now. This is Kyle Wilcox.
Hey, Jim. This is Kyle Wilcox. I just wanted to leave a voicemail on your hotline idea here for the average guy. I think it's a pretty good idea to have the voicemail thing. I like it, especially because it's convenient to leave feedback while you're driving and stuff. That's a lot of times when I'm listening to my podcast, and so the voicemail idea works great for that. And the other comment that I had never really gotten around to sending via email, I thought I would just use through this, is that you had said that you switched to saying Jim at theaverageguy.tv instead of podcast at theaverageguy.tv. And I think maybe in my perspective on that is whenever you say podcast at theaverageguy.tv, you can't really tell whether you're saying podcast or podcast with an S on the end, whether it's plural, so maybe that deterred people from sending an email. I don't know. That was just my perspective on that. And I guess the last thing...
Which, by the way, is a great point. I'll just stop that for a second here. That is a great point, because I'm from California and I slur all my words together. It is one of those things where, after he said that, I thought, yeah, podcast or podcasts. If you ever want to contact Apple, if you submit your podcast to Apple, it makes a difference. If you send it to podcast@apple.com, it comes back. If you send it to podcasts with an S, it will make it to somebody who will help you. So that you're muted, Mike. Sorry. Thank you.
When I had the website Nav Studios, oh, that caused all kind of havoc.
Yeah, yeah. It does make a difference. I mean, Kyle's right on there. I think. It's so Kyle, great point. I still am kind of committed to just going with Jim at theaverageguy.tv. And I've gotten, since we made that change, I've gotten a lot more emails. So, good point, Kyle. Let me finish up the call.
I'll say before we get too long here is, I think you mentioned on the earlier podcast about the idea of getting some tech items and just having them being mailed around the community so a bunch of guys could try them out. I think you said maybe Kevin came up with that idea, but I think that's a great idea. Let some guys get their hands on some tech, and then they can kind of decide if it's something they want to purchase on their own. So, anyways, great work with all the podcasts. We'll see you. Bye.
Kyle, thanks for leaving that message. And he's right. We're going to add that to the tech scholarship fund. And so send me your ideas. We've got a little bit in the fund to go with, and I haven't had anybody present anything to me in a while. And so if there is a piece of equipment that you think we should buy, that we should move around, so here's what we'll try and do. I'll buy it and ship it to the first person. We'll create a sign-up list for it. I'll buy it, send it to the first person. We're going to start a plague this way, Mike. I swear we are. So I'll buy it, ship it to the first person. Maybe it's a Synology box or something like that. And this would be dynamite for those high-end items that where, you know, it's expensive to buy up front. If we just send it to one person, that kind of drains the scholarship fund. But if you could hold on to it for a month, and then the only agreement that you'll have is you'll ship it to the next guy. So take care of it well enough that it can be shipped on to the next guy. We can get 12 different looks at that in a year, and if it's something you like at that point, then you've tried it out. So it kind of falls in a weird category with that because it kind of needs to survive. It needs to be more popular than just a year or one of those kinds of things. But I would appreciate your ideas. I do reserve the right to say no to some of those things. But if you want to do that, you want to jump in on that, let's jump in on the Facebook page. So go to the facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. Over there, the links are all over at theaverageguy.tv if you want to get over it. It's actually easier just to go to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. And let me know. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. That's just J-I-M, not J-I-M-S. But jim@theaverageguy.tv. And if you want to call and leave a message and do that, Kyle, thank you for doing that. 402-478-8450. That's just my Google Voice number. You might even get a real regular message that's on there. Hey, this is Jim. Leave a message or something like that. Leave your message, and we will play that on the show. Kyle, thanks for getting that done for us. That's kind of cool, Mike. That played well.
That was very cool. I want to do that now. I've been sitting here for the last 3 minutes trying to design a new logo, and I'm already frustrated and want to quit.
There you, hold on. Hold that back up again. Let's see that beauty.
No, I don't want to show you. I did it quickly so you wouldn't see it.
Oh, nice. All right, there you go.
So 3 minutes in, and I'm already wanting to quit.
Yeah. You're like, I just want to find a designer. I just want to find a designer. Well, call it in, 402-478-8450. Give that a call. Leave a voicemail. I won't answer it because I've left that. Just it automatically just goes to voicemail. So you won't get me, but you will get the voicemail, and we'll play that on the show. Remind you as well, we got some new live options available for you. If you come out and listen to the live show, we did have some problems tonight, and it was kind of my fault. I forgot to post the show into the playlist early, and if you came early, it loaded in your DNS, and there were some problems. We had some problems with people viewing it. Apologize, but we do have a new live page. It's laid out a little bit differently, so if you haven't been out here in a while, come out to theaverageguy.tv/live. You can check that out anytime. The playlist plays all the time, so you can just click on it, and it'll show the most recent show that's there. And you can go out to Live 2 now, which is optimized for your iPad or Surface device. Galaxy Tab would work as well. In portrait mode, especially, that's what that's designed for. And then if you just want to view the chat, you can come out to theaverageguy.tv/chat. Remember we used to say, Mike, go to livestream.com/theaverageguy to get the live stream. So I just created a chat page for you where it's just the chat. That's although awesome. In any three of the windows, little red box in the upper right-hand corner. Actually, I think it's this way. Upper right-hand corner it is. Right-hand. Upper right-hand corner up there in the chat box. Red, click it. It'll pop it out. You can put it anywhere. It'll even work on your phone, which is pretty cool. So I'm digging this chat wing. We moved to it at Gallup, and I'm digging it. They didn't even blink when I moved to it.
So you use it at Gallup, and how much pressure have you put under it? So how many live viewers?
220 in chat the last time.
There you go. If it worked with that kind of load.
Yeah, no, it worked out real well. So, it's becoming my new favorite thing that's out there. I really like it.
You know,
the other cool thing about it, Mike, is if, like in my case, the management doesn't want the chat window open and on when we're not podcasting, you know, they don't want people out there posting, you know, jackassery, as I like to call it. And so you can. Another Jim just said he's considering drunk dialing the podcast. That'd be fine. That'd be fine. I'm down.
Could have some entertainment value.
And Rennie just said interesting choice of a lower third. I've been running my call to coach lower third all night.
I thought maybe you were just trying to advertise that.
Oh, good heavens. There we go. There's the right. Jeez Louise. Why didn't somebody tell me that earlier?
I looked at it and go, I guess he's really into the call to coach. He tweets about it all the time. He does all this kind of stuff.
I do. We're having a good time over there. Well, so we're back to...
It's a big thing, yeah.
It is. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. We're having a good time. I'll just leave it up. Might as well.
There you go.
It's been up most of the podcast anyways. So Chat Wing's our new favorite chat, and give it a try. You turn it on and off. Change all the colors. I was surprised when they approached me. I was kind of like, not sure. I wouldn't even try it. But in the end, it's real and for free. I haven't paid a dime for it yet.
It's one of those. So when I saw it, I said, "Yeah, live stream's working for me." And you know, but the thing is that more and more people are wanting to do this mobile, and that's where live stream doesn't work. Live stream works great on a desktop, a laptop. It does not work on mobile. And if you want, it's hard to, you mentioned earlier, take two phones, but that was more of a joke. If you're on a phone, if you want to watch the video and chat at the same time, it's going to be difficult. But, you know, if you're on a tablet, you might want to do that.
Yeah. No, I think, even though I was joking, I kind of wasn't joking, right? I mean, think about this. Most iPad users, right, have an iPhone. So. Yeah.
So you can double there.
Yeah,
Or you may, in some cases, want to be listening to the show while watching the chat. You may do it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the perfect scenario would be phone with the video on it, right? Either watching it or just listening. And then iPad with the chat window in the top half and your virtual keyboard at the bottom.
Yeah.
You could be typing away in there. I think that would work real well. There have been some issues on iOS devices.
Like a real keyboard.
There you go. There have been some issues with trying to play the video, and as soon as the video starts playing, the chat doesn't. They lose. It's almost like it goes into read-only type thing. So I've got to do some more testing on that to kind of see. But hey, we're a heck of a lot. So the Jim said, I always thought it was call the coach. That's not a bad name. No, called to coach. I say that really fast when we've been saying it. Call the coach. I just kind of say it that way, but it is called to coach. And so let me know if you've got how you're viewing it. If you find some unique ways to do it, snap a picture off to me and send it out. love to, because I test everything. What's ironic, Mike, is this podcast was originally designed to be my major podcast, and now it's become the test bed for everything that I do at Gallup. So we try it here first, and then I take it in to Gallup and put it up among the hordes that show up there for that podcast.
One place is where you make your money, make a living. The other places where it's
just fun. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Let me say this, though, Mike. I have never had more fun podcasting in this podcast than I've ever had. I mean, this is the most fun I've ever had doing it, and it's all because of you, the listener out there, who downloads us and listens to us every single week, and you guys kind of make this happen. While I say I would podcast if nobody was listening, that's really not true. I mean, I enjoy it because you listen and you download it every week. Mike, I know that's, you know, JPEG to RAW, we're both busy professional guys. We kind of do this because we love to do it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you love the feedback. And part of the reason you keep trying to improve and try things like Chatwing is to make the experience better for the listener and the viewer.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate you guys. I probably don't say that enough, but you who come out every single week and listen to this, you guys are super important to us and all that we do, and so we appreciate it for it. Just a couple reminders before we kind of sign off on this. Ask the Podcast Coach, and that's Ask the Podcast Coach because I blend all my words together. Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. We're having a lot of fun with it. Mike, you've been joining us out there live from time to time. Dave Jackson and myself, you know, I've got a couple hundred podcasts under my belt. I know I might know one thing or two about podcasting. So we've kind of created Dave Jackson, of course, as a podcast coach extraordinaire. And the two of us have a lot of fun together. He is just a great guy to get together with on a weekly basis. And I think we're brothers from another mother. So it's the kind of way that works. But Dave and I get together. It's a live show. It's recorded as well. There's an RSS feed for it. It is a niche to podcasters. So if you're not podcasting, it may not be interesting to you. But if it is, head out to School of Podcasting, all one word, schoolofpodcasting.com, Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. You can, if you sign up for it over at Mixler or Spreaker, it will give you an automatic notification that we have gone live for using. Right. In fact, tonight I was going to go live on Mixler, and I totally forgot.
Yeah, you know, I listen to that on Saturday mornings if I'm around, and Dave is you guys together make a great team for that show. They're bouncing off of each other. And there's usually a nice chat room going and people talking back there. And it's not always about things that are specifically for podcasters. And that's the general theme, but sometimes y'all go off into WordPress talk and that kind of stuff that would appeal to a wider audience than just podcasters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the niche, but we have fun together. So it's one of those kinds of things that and Tony just said, I always thought Andrew was your brother from another mother.
You can have more than one.
I do. You can. We're a big family here at the Collison House. So I miss Andrew. He has been if you're a longtime listener of the show, Andrew Morris, of course, is a faithful in about the first 100 shows, and then life kind of went sideways. He had a couple children, which are just super cute. And life has just kind of overwhelmed him, and so we haven't seen Andrew in a while. Christian's coming back with Christian's Corner, and I think we're actually going to record one tomorrow night. Going to do the first couple and not put pressure on him to do them live, but we're going to record those. It's basically Christian saying whatever he wants, and if you know Christian very well, you're going to want to listen to this thing. It's going to be him. I'm going to hit record, and I'm going to back away from the mic, and I'm going to go.
Go have dinner.
That's right. Go have dinner, catch a movie, and then and you know what? Everything he says is interesting.
It is. He can go on for a long time. The kid is endless with details and information.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's going to be a great show.
It's going to be good. But we're going to shoot for about twice a month. Some months it'll just be once, but we'll break that out. And then he'll join us from time to time in this show, but his life is so busy at school that we're just having a hard time getting him to show up on Thursday. So it'll be great. Looking forward to that. Let's see, is there any other podcast stuff I'm breaking out? So we're going to break that one out. Financial Tech, I mentioned, is going to go over to GuideRock Capital and is going to go onto their site, and we're actually going to break that out into a financial well-being podcast. So that'll be kind of cool. Andrew Hunt and I, and actually we're going to add the president of the credit union into that, Ronnie Miller. The three of us are going to do that together. It's going to be a lot of fun. I get to record that one at work.
That's nice.
Which is pretty cool. So
I don't get to do any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Well, all right, we're an hour and 20 minutes. I want to say thank you for using the Amazon Tech Scholarship Fund. And so we want to say if you're buying at Amazon, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. It's a great way to support the podcast. We had $250 months, and so I'll have some money coming in over the next couple months. That'll help with the Tech Scholarship Fund. We mentioned all that up in advance. If you want to try it, if we should send a big unit around to everybody, maybe we could get on Facebook and vote that thing up or get it figured out. I'll figure out a way to get that done. Or if you just want to review something, we're still doing that as well. If you want to review something, it's kind of under $100 and it's kind of interesting. Let me know. I'll buy it for you. We'll ship it to you. You use it. You write it up. You get to keep it. And that's kind of a cool deal. And we've done a few of those. I've got one more coming in the hopper, and we'd love to have you to join us in that. It's a great way to do it. It's been a huge success as well. So let me know, nice. Jim, at theaverageguy.tv. All right. Well, that'll end it for tonight's show, and we'll stay around for the post show, your chat in the post show. Remember, you can't get the post show unless you come out to the live show. We do this show every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live, and now live too. And now chat, all those work and available for you. We will be back next Thursday. Actually, you're not going to want to miss next Thursday. Carrie Adams from Battery Rocks, Power Rocks, sorry. Carrie Adams, you might remember Carrie. She did Spartan Radio with me way back in the day.
That was an entertaining podcast. I remember that one.
Yeah,
even that if you're not into the Spartan race, that was an entertaining group.
We had a good time doing that. In fact, Todd, I should know Todd's last name. He doesn't listen to the podcast, so he won't be offended. But Todd Sedlick, that's his name. Todd Sedlick used to join us, and he was the guy that used to jump. He'd do all the crazy stunts during the show.
He'd be doing the burpees in the back and drive in a forklift and do exercises off the end of the forklift.
Off the edge of the forklift. One time, every time we said something, he jumped in he was outside. It was 43 degrees outside. He would jump in the pool and have to walk across it and walk back and then come out and do burpees on the side of the
pool. And it was all during the live podcast.
It was hilarious. Well,
was he the one that did, he was running on a treadmill while he was podcasting?
Yeah. Yeah. That was him. Oh, yeah, he did one from a hotel fitness center where he was moving the fitness center equipment around during the show. I tell you what, Spartan Radio didn't last long, but every show was dynamite. So
yeah, that's a shame because that was one I saw taken off.
Yeah, we had a good time. It just we could not after 30, we just could not keep pulling it off. And
yeah.
So but Carrie
had a
back.
Busy group. Yep.
Yeah, Carrie's back, and she's working for Power Rocks now, and so she's hopefully I've got her all lined up. Sometimes she's hard to get a hold of. She'll be on the show next week. She's dynamite, and we'll have her on the first part. We'll talk about what Battery Rocks is doing with in the area of recharging your devices. So that'll be next Thursday. Today's the 16th, so
24th.
Next week is the 23rd. And if you're time shifting this, go back to theaverageguy.tv. It's probably already done. So everybody have a great evening. We'll be back next Thursday night, and we'll do it all over again. Mike, thank you for coming on and co-hosting on short notice. Appreciate that. Stay around for the post show, and we'll do all this live again next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.